right, you are back for episode 2 of Woo Fantasy. I am your host, the Roto Superstar himself, Brandon Murkison. We're going to be flying the ship a little bit solo tonight, as my normal co-host Nick Heffley is a little bit busy this evening, and we are going to be taking care of a little bit of business ourselves this evening. We're going to talk a little bit of the NFL free agency period that started up last week on Wednesday. New league year opened up. As most of you already know, some of the news, some of the signings that came down the pike last week. We're going to talk about a little bit of the fantasy implications on the moves made by some of the teams in free agency. Going to get into a little bit of talk with some fantasy football rankings. We got a little bit of some early rankings out there, some best ball drafts that are occurring, your MFL 10s and some of the drafts along those lines. So we're going to kind of jump into those, get our feet wet a little bit, and kind of just get a little small, a little taste when it comes to the world of fantasy football here in episode 2. Speaking of fantasy in its own right, just participated in the annual SBFFC Fantasy Baseball Draft in Bowling Green, Kentucky this past Saturday. I feel like it went very, very well. It's a great draft as always. We've got a good group of guys up there. The league runs really, really well. Just like the football league in its own right, the SBFFC Fantasy Football League that we do, draft comes in August each year. Do the draft based out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. Last year had 156 teams in that league. Just continuing to grow by leaps and bounds, and you will hear a lot of discussion, a lot of talk going forward as we get closer to draft time. We'll do a little bit of preview with the SBFFC. We'll probably have some owners from that league on here. Of course, myself, Nick Heffley, and a few of our other friends. You'll probably hear some voices pop on the show from time to time as we go through the summer, as we get you prepared for fantasy football. So, as the week in review when it comes to fantasy football, NFL free agency. Of course, there were a lot of signings, a lot of flurry of activity last week. Of course, like what we touched on the first episode, myself and Nick talked about Kirk Cousins and the rumor that he was going to be going to the Minnesota Vikings, and that rumor came to fruition last week as Kirk Cousins did sign his 3-year deal worth $84 million with the Minnesota Vikings. Like we said last week, from my personal perspective, I believe Kirk Cousins will have yet another great season when it comes to fantasy football in this Minnesota Vikings offense. He's upgrading weapons pretty much at every single position, whether it be the wide receiver, whether it be the tight end, also that offensive line, all three phases of that offense, even the running game with Dalvin Cook and the re-upping of Latavius Murray. I know he kind of reworked his contract to stay on with the Vikings. So you're going to have that backfield of Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray come 2018. So do Kirk Cousins expect another good season out of him? I believe to see him finish as a top 5, top 6 quarterback in fantasy football in 2018. That's just from early indications. I mean, you can't go wrong with top tier receivers, top 20 receivers that he has in Adam Thielen, also Stephon Diggs. You're going to see guys like that. I would not be shocked to go in that wide receiver 12 to wide receiver 15 range once we get into a lot of the fantasy football drafts in the summer. Once you get into the training camps and everything like that, you're going to see a lot of hype surrounding this team moving forward. I think it's going to be a good thing for Cousins in fantasy football. And coming off the season in which he finished, I believe he finished as the fifth highest quarterback in the rankings this last year, I think he's going to hold firm even in a better offense. So big things out of Kirk Cousins moving forward. I believe, just like I said, I believe that this team is is going to be in store for a big year. Going to probably put a lot of points on the board. Defense is going to do well, keeping a lot of the teams low scoring. So I think this offense will be able to move the ball at will in a lot of games. Moving down the list a little bit, you're going to have Drew Brees. We all, of course, knew he was going to re-up with the New Orleans Saints, and that is exactly what he did. Re-signed a deal to remain with the Saints, extends out for the, I believe, 2 more years with a total of $70 million. Drew Brees, as we know, is a perennial top five, top six quarterback in fantasy football. Except for this last season, he dropped down the rankings a little bit, and of course that had a lot to do with the running game of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, both of those two running backs finishing inside the top 10 at the position. And you know, with a running game that strong, you know, Drew Brees did not have to shoulder the load as much as he has in previous seasons. So Drew Brees gladly kind of sacrificed his own numbers for the betterment of the team, which, you know, of course they won the division. Moved into the playoffs, had a disappointing playoff run based upon what was expected of them going in. But Drew Brees going into 2018, I would be remiss to think that he does not finish inside the top 10 again. I would not expect for him to reach that plateau of the top 4, top 5 quarterbacks next season. I think he's going to fall into a little bit of a comfort zone with this running game and with the defenses starting to build in New Orleans, to where you're going to see Drew Brees is going to get into this comfort zone to where he's not going to be that perennial 300 yard a week, 3 touchdown a week type quarterback anymore. You're going to get a lot of 250 and a touchdown or two a week. He's just going to be steady. He's going to be a consistent quarterback for you in 2018. And when it comes to fantasy football, you know, we generally like to see a quarterback that is very, very consistent, but has that ability to blow up every once in a while and give you weeks where just his point total alone can allow you to win ball games. And that is going to be the type of quarterback you're going to get with Drew Brees next year. Moving on as well, we had Case Keenum going to the Denver Broncos, which was kind of a shock. You know, Case Keenum had a few different suitors out there. You know, I think that he flirted a little bit with the New York Giants, flirted a little bit with the New York Jets. I believe he probably had a conversation with the Arizona Cardinals as well. But best thing for Case Keenum in his career, the signing at Denver with that offense, they're kind of still in this win now mode, and I think Case Keenum was the quarterback that they feel can get them there over the course of the next year or two. He signed a 2-year, $36 million deal with Denver. I know both Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas both are two guys that immediately see their stock rise in fantasy football circles. You're going to see Demaryius Thomas, both, and Emmanuel Sanders start to come off the board in that wide receiver 2 range. Sanders probably more of a wide receiver 3 in drafts if I were to select right now. But Demaryius Thomas himself, you're going to probably see him come off the board as a wide receiver 2. But do not be shocked to see him jump back into that wide receiver 1 tier. I think he has all the talent in the world, and I think Case Keenum has that skill set. If he can come in and fill into the offense in a rather quick form, I believe he can help Demaryius Thomas reascend as a number one wide receiver in fantasy football. I would not be shocked to see Demaryius Thomas next year go for about 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards. I would say floor would be 7 touchdowns. But don't be shocked to see him go over double-digit scores this next year. You're going to have A.J. McCarron and Sam Bradford. Both are two other signings that were made. Sam Bradford gets a starter deal to go to the Arizona Cardinals. He goes there for a 2-year, $40 million deal. How can you explain the signing that the Arizona Cardinals did here. It just, to me, it seems asinine and just breathes of a team that is desperate to fill the quarterback void left by Carson Palmer, and they're in a position in the draft to where they know they're not going to be able to probably get one of these top 2 to 3 quarterbacks that are coming out in the draft this year. So they're going to sign a guy like a Sam Bradford to be a bridge quarterback. And a name that I've kind of been throwing out there to watch for once we get towards the NFL draft is Mason Rudolph in round 2 to the Cardinals. From everything I've read, some insider reports, some rumors out there, is that the Cardinals front office is very, very high on Mason Rudolph, and they feel that he can be a quarterback that they can get in round 2. And I think he's going to be a guy that can come in and play probably by week 5, week 6, once Sam Bradford gets hurt, because we all know that that's going to happen. It's happened everywhere else he's been. This guy's just one more shot to the head and or knee from being just an invalid, can't move anymore. He's done for his career. Let's be honest there. Sam Bradford is not going to give you a bump in any sort of fantasy football circle. He will not be drafted in drafts this next year, nor should he be. And if anything, he's an upgrade over what they did have at the position with Drew Stanton there and some of the other quarterbacks that they had on that roster after Carson Palmer decided to hang it up. Sam Bradford's not going to give you much of a bump there. If anything, he's going to probably try to maintain the passing game enough to open up some holes for David Johnson. And David Johnson, coming off the injury from last year where he missed the entire season, he's coming into an offense where that offensive line is very, very questionable up until this point in time. And I would not be shocked to see David Johnson, although he get drafted kind of where he normally will get drafted in that first 3 to 4 picks of the first round in drafts, don't be shocked to see David Johnson not live up to that expectation, that draft value. David Johnson's going to be a guy that he's going to give you more value in PPR formats because he's going to get targeted left and right out of the backfield. He will probably not give you much in terms of rushing ability. If you're expecting 100 yards a week out of this running game with that offensive line, I would probably look elsewhere because David Johnson's probably not going to be the back to give it to you. But what he can give you is 5 to 6 to 7 catches a week out of the backfield and giving you closer to that 70 to 90 yards through the air, because they're going to have to go through David Johnson on that offense. And David Johnson will be able to score enough points to make up the difference through the air that you're losing on the ground, kind of in a way similar to what Todd Gurley did 2 years ago before he kind of re-emerged onto the landscape last year. Todd Gurley was a guy that was not giving you much in 2016 on the ground, but he was giving you plenty, and especially in the second half of the season, he was giving you a lot of targets, a lot of catches, and that actually helped get his value and vault him back up into the top 10. Even though you didn't think he had that great of a year in PPR formats, he was a top 10 running back that year. So I think that's what you're going to see out of David Johnson. I don't think he's going to finish as the second or third best running back in fantasy football next year, but he'll definitely be a top 10 running back just based on what he can give you with receptions in PPR formats. So, moving on, A.J. McCarron signed a 2-year deal to become the starting quarterback and replace Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. To me, this screams as a bridge signing. I don't think A.J. McCarron in that offense is providing much. Let's be honest, this offense is LeSean McCoy or bust. If LeSean McCoy's not getting it done on the ground, the Buffalo Bills are not putting points on the board. And A.J. McCarron, although he has flashed in spot duty in which he's played with the Cincinnati Bengals over the last few years, let's just be honest, that's just spot duty. That's coming in and playing against teams that were not ready and not game planning for A.J. McCarron to be the quarterback. And coming into where now you have a coach in Sean McDermott that is more of a ground-based attack type of coach. We saw that last year. He wants to run the ball and play defense. So he's not going to ask a lot out of A.J. McCarron through the air this next year. So if you're expecting anything out of A.J. McCarron, he's worth a selection in a dynasty format as a quarterback that you want to kind of stash on your bench just to see how it plays out. But in redraft leagues, AJ McCarron will be a waiver wire bum this next year. He'll be a guy that you'll see on that waiver wire each and every week, and you'll continually pass him up week in and week out because the Buffalo Bills they have no weapons to provide for AJ McCarron. Charles Clay is kind of a middle of the road type tight end. I think you're going to lose a lot with Charles Clay this next year with Tyrod Taylor moving on, because that was Tyrod Taylor's security blanket. And AJ McCarron will come in, not have that rapport, not have that chemistry with Charles Clay. That's something that's going to have to develop as the season wears along. And are you going to be patient enough with your roster to hold on to a Charles Clay type at the tight end position when most people usually use that position as a streaming position where you're picking up a player each and every week to plug in based on matchups? Probably not. You're probably going to look another direction week in, week out for a tight end, and Charles Clay will be a guy that's going to be often picked up and dropped in the waivers in either format, whether it be PPR or standard. Of course, they've got Kelvin Benjamin there as well. Kelvin Benjamin's going to be a guy that you're going to see kind of as that low-tier wide receiver three. He has that touchdown potential in standard formats, but he's not going to offer you a lot in PPR formats with AJ McCarron at quarterback. I think this passing game is probably going to be one of the worst in the league as we get into next year. So I would not expect much at all. The other quarterback news that came down last week was the New York Jets and their laughable signings of Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. Yes, you heard that right. They did sign two quarterbacks to one-year deals apiece. McCown gets $10 million to come back to be the quarterback of the Jets, and Bridgewater gets $6 million to be kind of a project to see what they do have in a quarterback there. But, of course, you know, the big news over the weekend, as we all heard, the New York Jets have mortgaged the farm, so to speak, to move up to the third pick in the draft. Odds are they're going to get their quarterback of the future with that third pick. Probably going to see them take a Josh Allen or a Baker Mayfield. I would probably lean more towards the Josh Allen pick. Some of the indications that I've read over the weekend, of course, this all could be smokescreen because the NFL draft a month out is going to be nothing but smokescreens left and right. A lot of the New York Jets news and rumors that you're kind of seeing over the last few days is that they're not very high on Baker Mayfield, which I believe to be a mistake. I think Baker Mayfield is the perfect type of quarterback to go into a media circus type situation that is the New York Jets, and I think he can handle it. And all the variables that he had in college, I think, is going to translate into the NFL in a seamless manner, is what I would definitely say. So Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater, when it comes to fantasy, not much appeal there. Same thing with AJ McCarron, not draft worthy. Going to be waiver wire fodder, so to speak. I mean, we, of course, Josh McCown, you know, a lot of folks are going to say, well, he did provide points. He was a top 12 quarterback for a lot of the season last year in fantasy football. Don't expect that again out of Josh McCown. If you're drafting Josh McCown and you think he's going to provide you with the numbers that he did in 2017, you're doing fantasy football wrong, and that is why you're listening to Woo Fantasy. We give you straightforward what you need to do with your fantasy football drafts and roster churning, anything like that. Smart play, Josh McCown. Don't touch him. Let him be a headache and a problem for another owner out in your league. Moving on to running backs. Of course, a lot of the other news that came down with the quarterbacks last week were going to be backups, you know, just depth type signings, things like that. So you're not going to really see much with fantasy football information and any kind of implications out of the rest of the signings that came down the pike last week. So we're going to move on to the running backs. And for me, the biggest signing was Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon going to the San Francisco 49ers on a four-year, $30 million deal. He will be used in the Devontae Freeman type role in San Francisco. At least that's what Kyle Shanahan is definitely throwing out there since the signing. He is very, very excited about bringing in Jerick McKinnon. And I think they're going to do everything they can to get him the ball, whether it be running, whether it be receiving. I think they like the skill set that he's bringing in. And I think he kind of meshes well into this offense. He's going to be a guy that, depending on how the hype goes throughout the summer, he might be this guy that you're going to see drafted as a mid to lower tier running back too, just based on hype alone. And can he live up to that? That remains to be seen. But I think in that type of offense with Kyle Shanahan as the head coach, offensive coordinator technically, and with Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, we saw some signs out of Jimmy Garoppolo late in the year last year, so there's definitely some things to be excited about with his offense. And Jerick McKinnon might be a guy that's going to kind of give you similar type numbers to kind of like a poor man's David Johnson, like I just talked about earlier in the podcast just a few minutes ago. He's not that big name that David Johnson is, but I could see similar weeks out of the two. You know, like David Johnson's not going to give you a lot of numbers on the ground rushing. Jerick McKinnon probably is not going to be the guy that's going to burn you on the stat sheet with yards per carry. He's not going to stuff the stat sheets with 100 and 150 yard games, but he's going to give you those, you know, the steady 70, 75, 80 yards rushing a week. But his biggest contribution is going to be in that passing game. Every running back that's in a Kyle Shanahan offense gives you numbers in the passing game. They generally are always top-tier finishers at running back one. You know, at worst, they're running back two. So with Jerick McKinnon, I would expect similar results there. Jerick McKinnon's going to be a guy that you can get as that mid- to late-tier running back two, possibly even later. Just like I said, depends on how the hype plays out with him as we get into the training camps. I think he will return his ADP value once we start seeing a lot of that ADP coming down the board with some of the early drafts. I think Jerick McKinnon will be a guy that's going to surprise you where he's getting drafted in a lot of these leagues early on. So just plan according. You know, Jerick McKinnon's a guy that you like. You're going to have to probably pay a premium to go out and get him. Another signing that came down the pike, Deion Lewis, signing with the Tennessee Titans. Bum, 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 bum. Killing Derrick Henry Dynasty owners. Derrick Henry Dynasty owners, I hope you enjoyed that entire week that you had of Derrick Henry being the bona fide three-down running back in Tennessee, because as quickly as it came, it quickly went away just as well. Deion Lewis coming in to Tennessee on a four-year, almost $20 million deal, just shy. He is definitely going to be a guy that's going to come in. He's going to be a complimentary back. This is a committee backfield, ladies and gentlemen. Do not be fooled. This Titans coaching staff went out and got Deion Lewis, you know, head coach being Mike Vrabel, coming from that Patriots system where he played. He knows what he's getting in Deion Lewis, and he will not be afraid to throw him out there on that field. So Deion Lewis is going to be a headache for many fantasy owners in 2018. Now, Tennessee was just cutting DeMarco Murray. We thought we were losing a headache. We thought we were going to not have a backfield committee in Tennessee. And we thought we were getting that bell cow back out of Derrick Henry, which got a lot of us excited at the potential that Derrick Henry could do, you know, getting that 20, 25 touches a game. Not going to be the case now. You're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry on the early downs. And Deion Lewis is going to mix in on those second downs, and he's going to come in on third downs. And that's how that offense rolls. They're going to bring him in as that complimentary back, like I said, change of pace back. Third down situations where they're needing somebody to come out of the backfield, Deion Lewis is the guy. I mean, let's not shy away from the fact that Deion Lewis led the NFL in rushing down the stretch over the last few weeks of the season. So he can run the ball. Let's Let's just go ahead and put that out there. So if you think Deion Lewis is strictly just a pass-catching back and that's all he can do well, yeah, you might as well get that out of your head right now. Deion Lewis is going to be a guy that they're going to run the ball with. They're going to throw it to him. And you're going to see this backfield in Tennessee really, really be a headache now, where you know, just 2 weeks ago we were really excited about the potential that we had back there with Derrick Henry. Deion Lewis, whereas Derrick Henry was a bona fide number one running back, probably was going to get drafted tail end of the first round, early part of the second round. Now you're going to see his value drop back kind of late second, kind of maybe leak into the third in certain formats. Just depends on what type of league you're drafting in. And Deion Lewis is probably going to be a guy, just off the top of my head right now, you're going to see him probably filter into that fourth round, fifth round area. I think a lot of hype's going to be surrounding him, and you're going to see some people jumping on board with it. You'll probably even see like the smart strategy with a lot of people, how they did it last year as well. You had some owners out there that would draft DeMarco Murray and draft Derrick Henry and just play whoever had that hot hand in a given week. And I think that that might be a strategy that you can put forth into the 2018 season as you get prepped and ready for your drafts. It might be a smart play to go out there and get both running backs, Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis, but you're going to have to pay a premium to get both of them. So you have to really kind of take a lot of risk if you're going to go with that particular strategy. The Cleveland Browns, after their flurry of activity before free agency kicked off with the Tyrod Taylor trade, with the Jarvis Landry trade, they go out and they sign Carlos Hyde to a 3-year, $15 million deal. Right off the bat, my first indication was, okay, that kills all the buzz of Saquon Barkley getting drafted to the Cleveland Browns. I think Carlos Hyde is going to come in, and he is going to be their starting running back in 2018. Now, there has been some news that's come out. The GM, Dorsey from Cleveland, has even said, you know, they're not ruling out the possibility of taking Saquon Barkley in this draft. And I agree with that to a certain point. I think now it's pretty much set in stone that they're going to take Sam Darnold at the number one pick in the draft this year. And they also own that fourth pick, we all know. But now you have the Giants likely to take Josh Rosen at number two. The Jets are probably going to take Josh Allen at number three. Now that just falls right into the laps of the Cleveland Browns to pretty much take best player on the board. And at that point, it would be Saquon Barkley. But will they pull the trigger on that, or will they try to trade back? That remains to be seen at this point. If it were me, I would float that pick, and I would try to acquire more draft picks. That seems to be the best strategy to play for the Cleveland Browns, as they're trying to build this franchise, just acquire talent as much as possible and fill the depth on this team, and they've done a great job up until this point. But if they stick at four, they've got all kinds of options. I mean, they can take Quentin Nelson, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. Joe Thomas just retired, calls it a career. Quentin Nelson is a guy that can come in and immediately take the place of Joe Thomas, and you're not missing a beat. Or you could take Minka Fitzpatrick at number four. There's a little bit of need at cornerback on this team. Not as much as it was before free agency, but there's still a little bit of need there. Minka Fitzpatrick is a guy that can come in. He can either play cornerback for you, or you can throw him back at safety and play him opposite Jabril Peppers. That is a very deadly combo at both safety positions, with Peppers and a possibility of Minka Fitzpatrick back there. So I wouldn't rule out either one of those moves. If it were me, like I said, fourth pick, I would drop back if at all possible. There might be a team that's desperate enough to come up there and get either Saquon Barkley or get their guy there. Maybe it's Quentin Nelson. Maybe even come up and draft a Baker Mayfield. Who knows? The Cleveland Browns are really at this point in time, we're a month out from the draft. I believe those top three quarterbacks are going to come off the board, and the Cleveland Browns are in the driver's seat at the fourth pick. They can do whatever they wish at this point in time. And Saquon Barkley, if he were drafted, immediately kills the Carlos Hyde potential on this offense. But right now, we're going to assume that Saquon Barkley is not a pick on this Cleveland Browns roster. Excuse me. And Carlos Hyde, on this team, he's going to have better opportunities to score for you as a fantasy football running back than he did in San Francisco last year. But the biggest knock on Carlos Hyde, as it's always been, is health. Can he stay on the field? And if he does, you've got yourself a running back two in this offense. He's going to be a guy that's going to get you plenty of yardage on the ground. That offensive line for the Cleveland Browns is really not much to laugh at. They can do some things. They can open up these holes and be able to allow Carlos Hyde to find some open lanes, carry big chunks of yardage. I think you're immediately going to see his yards per carry go up in this offense as opposed to how it did in San Francisco, where if you were Carlos Hyde owner last year, there were a lot of frustrating times where if you watched him, he bounced around back behind the line too much, waiting for a hole to open up instead of busting in there and just making one himself. I think he'll be able to really just put forth that north-south speed, and you're going to see him really accrue a lot of chunk yardage in this offense. Now, will he still give you the upside when it comes to a PPR format? Not as long as Duke Johnson is the second running back on this roster. Duke Johnson is going to be their guy on third down. He's going to take more of your targets and receptions. Carlos Hyde will get it more on checkdowns. So there is the opportunity to get points out of receptions when it comes to Carlos Hyde. But he's not going to be a guy that's going to just flat out be a target on a single individual play like Duke Johnson is. Duke Johnson, that's his bread and butter. He's out there catching passes. That's his go-to for you on your fantasy football roster. Duke Johnson is a guy that you can plug in there and play at flex every single week because you know a floor at the reception spot is he's going to get you those 5 to 7 catches a week. And it's hard to find that in the running back position out there. And Duke Johnson's a guy that can give you that. Some of the other signings that we had at running back. Pooh, those New England Patriots are doing it to us again. They've retained Mike Gillisley. They re-signed Rex Burkhead to a 3-year, $9 million deal. And then they also, over the weekend, they go out and sign Jeremy Hill, the Cincinnati Bengal, to a 1-year deal to come into this offense. And I immediately tweeted it out as soon as the signing was made of Jeremy Hill, was that just to me, it screams of a guy that gets cut during training camp by the New England Patriots. I think they're wanting to bring Jeremy Hill in, A, to keep him from signing with a possible competitor. I mean, that could have been the case out there. But B, I think it's more of along the lines Bill Belichick wanted to see what he had in that running back. Can he be the Corey Davis or the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, or not Corey Davis, Corey Dillon, I'm sorry. Can he be that Corey Dillon of yesteryear or the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis of previous New England Patriots teams to where they're just that bruising running back that's coming out there and they're getting those chunk, they're just breaking off chunks of yards in the fourth quarter and just wearing teams down and winning ball games. I think the early indication is that Jeremy Hill is the type of player that they're looking at to possibly be that type of a player in that role. That's what they thought they had out of Mike Gillisley last year. Mike Gillisley, as we know, came in and was very, very hot over the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season and then just completely faded off the radar. Was hardly ever to be seen again throughout the rest of the 2017 season. So you're going to see a big, huge headache out of this backfield yet again in 2018. If I had to take a guess right now, I'm going to say Rex Burkhead is going to be the guy to own out of the backfield if you were to decide to take the chance. PPR formats, you're going to want to go with James White. kind of stash him on that bench, on your bench. Probably you'll be able to get him in drafts, I would say, as a running back four. His value will probably lie around in that area when drafts start to roll around. So you might be able to get a James White type guy cheap. But when it comes to the other two backs in this backfield right now, I don't want a part of Gillis Lee and Jeremy Hill. Like I said, I don't think he makes the final roster myself. See, LeGarrette Blount signed a one-year deal to go to the Detroit Lions. That has some fantasy implications, some pretty good fantasy implications. I think the Detroit Lions are a team that's been looking to get a guy that can run the ball for, it seems like, forever. And they might have stumbled upon a guy that can do just that with LeGarrette Blount. I think he's going to come in. He's previously played with Matt Patricia, who's now the head coach of the Detroit Lions. So Patricia, just like Vrabel did with Deion Lewis, there's a familiarity there. LeGarrette Blount's going to be coming in. He's going to be that bruiser that they're needing. He's going to get those tough yards for the Detroit Lions. Somebody that's going to be able to help Matt Stafford not shoulder so much of the load like he has been over the last few years. You know, Matt Stafford has been a guy that's a perennial top 10 quarterback in fantasy. Should still fall in that realm in 2018 just based on sheer potential in its own right. But I think kind of be cautious as to the numbers you're expecting out of Stafford in 2018, because I think LeGarrette Blount is going to be a guy that's going to give them the rushing yardage that they've needed over the last few seasons. LeGarrette Blount, to me right now, I would say definite low-end running back two in drafts. Might be able, depending on your draft strategy, he'll fall a little bit more in PPR formats, but his true dependency is in a standard league. He's going to give you yardage, and he's almost a lock for double-digit touchdowns on this offense as it stands right now. LeGarrette Blount probably locked for 10 touchdowns in 2018. That alone gives him value as a running back too. Depending on how the running back position shakes out, he could be a sneaky play to get into that low-end running back one conversation by season's end. You might laugh at that comment, but, I mean, in a standard format, touchdowns are key. And LeGarrette Blount's going to be one of the few running backs that'll give you 10 touchdowns next year. Moving on, we have a couple other signings. You had Chris Ivory signed with the Buffalo Bills. It's kind of a type signing. He's going to be the complimentary change of pace back for LeSean McCoy. He's really great insurance in case LeSean McCoy finally breaks down, which I would not be shocked to see. We all have seen the workload that McCoy has put in over the last few years. And McCoy's a guy that has had an injury history in the past. And I would not be shocked to see the little small dings that have really harmed him over the last few seasons where he's kind of come off the field from time to time, but he's not missed an extended period of time. Don't be shocked to see LeSean McCoy really miss extended periods of time this year. I think some of that mileage is going to really start to finally weigh on him with Chris Ivory being very, very, very good insurance in a signing there. See, Doug Martin signs a one-year deal to go play for John Gruden over in Oakland. He will be a complimentary back to Marshawn Lynch himself. It's a smart signing because I think John Gruden's going to really kind of go back to square one with this offense, really kind of start from the ground up. He's going to want to try to improve that defense. He's going to want to run the ball and help Derek Carr open up in the passing game a little bit more. You know, Derek Carr has been so touchdown dependent over the last 2 years. I think you're going to see Derek Carr try to really kind of get back into that quarterback one conversation. I don't think it'll happen. But the pieces are there to help them. I think that's the Jordy Nelson signing is a signing that's really going to help Derek Carr. Gives them another viable weapon outside with Amari Cooper. You know, of course, they've had Michael Crabtree the last couple of years, who's now a Baltimore Raven. I think Jordy Nelson, even with the injuries and even age – I think he's easily a better player at the position than Michael Crabtree. So that's a definite uptick in value at the wide receiver position for the Oakland Raiders. So now jumping over to wide receiver, as we talked about last week's episode, Jarvis Landry getting the trade over the Cleveland Browns. I think we discussed that just a little bit last week. I think Jarvis Landry is still going to be, he's going to be a low-end wide receiver one in PPR formats, but if you're in standard league, he is without a doubt going to be a wide receiver two in that format. Allen Robinson signs with the Chicago Bears. There's some people that are very, very excited for that signing, expecting a little over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, I think, are some of the early projections on Allen Robinson. But some, like the discussions I've had with Nick Heffley, who's the Chicago Bear fan himself, what do we truly have in Mitchell Trubisky? That is the big question mark with the Chicago Bears right now, and I'm not sure what we have there. And Allen Robinson, as it stands right now, he's really the only bona fide receiver that they have on this roster. Yes, they have Cameron Meredith. Yes, they also signed Taylor Gabriel as well. But Allen Robinson is by far and away the best receiver on this team. And you're going to see a lot of double coverage, a lot of shady coverage on Allen Robinson. So Trubisky might try to force the ball to him, but that might lead to some turnovers as well. So be on the lookout for that. Allen Robinson is a guy that, if it were me right now, I would probably shy away from in drafts because I think he'll go a lot earlier than what he should in drafts. I don't think you're going to get the value based upon where he is going to get drafted once we get into draft season. Sammy Watkins goes from the Los Angeles Rams and goes to the Kansas City Chiefs on a 3-year deal. He's going to be the wide receiver two in this offense with Tyreek Hill. Of course, you know, Tyreek Hill is going to be the guy that's the 9-route guy, goes down the field, goes makes the big play. Sammy Watkins is going to be a guy that can kind of do both. We've seen him go down the field, make the big play. We've seen him catch the ball over the middle. But what kind of rapport does he have with the first-year quarterback in Patrick Mahomes? That's something to look out for in training camp and in the preseason games. And then, of course, the other knock on Sammy Watkins, as it's always been, is can he stay on the field? Health is always a question with Sammy Watkins, and I think that's going to be another thing that's going to rear its ugly head as he plays in Kansas City. It's going to be what Sammy Watkins is going to be there in a given week. Is it going to be the healthy Sammy Watkins, or is it going to be the dinged-up decoy Sammy Watkins? He is a headache to own in fantasy football the last couple of years. He is a very boomer-bust play. And just like Allen Robinson, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to go way, way too high for me based on the value that he can return. Let's see. Of course, I mentioned Jordy Nelson going to the Oakland Raiders. Over the last 2 to 3 years, what you've seen with the Oakland passing game, you've seen the a receiver opposite of Amari Cooper, which being Michael Crabtree, has actually outscored Amari Cooper in most years. And that could be the case again this year. I think Jordy Nelson will have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder to go over here and play in Oakland. In early draft value, I would probably say, If it was me, I would probably look at Jordy Nelson in that wide receiver two, that mid-tier wide receiver two range right now. I think him and Amari Cooper, you're going to kind of see it go around the same ADP. So it's going to be kind of a flip of a coin on that. Paul Richardson actually goes to Washington Redskins on a 5-year deal worth $40 million. And that is strictly paying on potential. And now that they have Alex Smith at quarterback, I don't see much out of Paul Richardson. He's going to give you more wide receiver four type numbers, probably a flex play in given weeks. He's just going to be another guy that's just going to be too boomer bust for me. Let's see. Of course, some of the other big signings as we're trying to kind of jump into some of these free agency tidbits here before we kind of jump into more of the more of the ADP stuff. Jimmy Graham signs a 3-year deal to go to the Green Bay Packers. That has a lot of glitz and glamour attached to it. It's Jimmy Graham playing for Aaron Rodgers. But then the knock on that is Jimmy Graham is so touchdown dependent at this point in time. You can't count on him in PPR formats, so he's going to be a guy that's going to – it's touchdown or bust in given weeks with Jimmy Graham, and even with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers really has historically not been a guy that targets the tight end very often. So Jimmy Graham will be a guy that will go top five at the position. Will he return top five numbers? Probably so, because that position is such a crapshoot. But I think you're going to see a lot of people be hyped on Jimmy Graham, kind of like you were with like a Jared Cook. There's a lot of Jared Cook truthers out there, or like a Tyler Eifert was last year. Tyler Eifert, he re-ups with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's another guy that if he can stay on the field, he provides you with a great amount of numbers. Tyler Eifert will be a guy that you can get probably for cheap late in a lot of these drafts, I think, if he can show that he can return to form and be completely healthy in this offense. Tyler Eifert will be a guy that you can get cheap late, probably provide you with a pretty good point total, be a top 10 tight end, only if healthy. Austin Seferian-Jenkins, another big signing, goes two-year $10 million deal to the Jacksonville Jaguars. This has a lot of potential right here. I think Bortles has been looking for a guy that he can really, really lean on at that position over the last couple of years, and they've not had a dependable guy in the offense. I think they've got it with Austin Seferian-Jenkins. He will likely be another name that'll probably get hyped as we get into the training camp and offseason programs. Getting into draft time, he'll probably come off the board around that 6th, 7th spot off out of position. He'll definitely return that value. I have no doubts about that. Now, when it comes to fantasy football, rankings, that is a very, very good indicator, and that's something that we all look at kind of to see where guys are lining up at. It helps you in your preparation for your drafts. It shouldn't be the holy Bible, so to speak. You don't necessarily always go by the rankings. You really want to kind of use your own mindset and judge a position or a player as you go through the draft. We've said it time and again, you don't need to go into a draft with a certain set strategy, because then that's going to lock you into making mistakes during your draft. And during a draft, you need to be open. Best player available, be able to change. Be very flexible when it comes to your drafting. I've mentioned that over and over again, whether it be on podcasts or whether it's been in articles that I've written for Roto Experts. I mean, it's the best way for you to make the most complete team is to be flexible during your draft. I mean, if you go into a round and you're saying, hey, I've got to get this running back in this round, odds are that guy's not going to come to you. And then what are you going to do? You're going to be on tilt and you're going to make a mistake. It's just the way that it goes. I mean, it's like I mentioned first thing on the podcast, had a fantasy baseball draft this weekend. I did not have a strategy going in. I wanted to kind of take that draft as it came to me. Made my first round selection, and as it came around to me in the second round, lo and behold, here I have, middle of the second round, I have a Clayton Kershaw falling into my lap. That is a no-brainer pick, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, there's injury concerns when it comes to Clayton Kershaw over the last 2 years, but Clayton Kershaw is the top pitcher, if not, low end two or three at the position, and I got him as a fourth pitcher off the board, middle of the second round. I'll take that all day, every day. But if I were to go into that draft and say, hey, I've got to get another hitter, I've got to get an outfielder here, I would have completely whiffed on that pick. But, so, going into some early rankings here, some early rankings based on kind of ADP that's out there, some of the best ball drafts that have been going on early on. Top 10 position at the quarterback right now, you're looking at Aaron Rodgers 1, Russell Wilson 2, Tom Brady 3, Carson Wentz 4, Deshaun Watson 5, Cam Newton 6, Drew Brees 7, Kirk Cousins falling in at 8, Matt Stafford falling in at 9, and at 10 we have Andrew Luck, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you heard that right, Andrew Luck at 10. What I'm seeing right now, and if you want to kind of extrapolate this out into, you know, 12-team formats, 11, you got Jimmy Garoppolo making his appearance as a quarterback 1 this year, and Dak Prescott rounding out the top 12. What I'm seeing here, out of this top 10, top 12, you'll see some fluctuation in here. I think Aaron Rodgers, yes, as healthy, should be the number 1 quarterback off the board. That is a no-brainer. Russell Wilson finished last year as the number 1 quarterback in 2017. A lot of that had to do with injuries across the board at the position. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, had he been there, would have bypassed Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson, had he stayed healthy, Deshaun Watson would have been your number one quarterback by the end of the 2017 season. So Deshaun Watson will be a name to keep tabs on as we go through the drafting process. I think there's going to be a lot of hype surrounding Deshaun Watson. You're going to see a lot of people that are going to be jumping in on that train. And he'll be a guy that you're going to see probably come off the board. 4th, 5th round will be my guess at this point in time, because I guarantee you there will be a guy in your league that will jump early at Deshaun Watson based on what he did in 2017. And like we keep saying here, ladies and gentlemen, that is a mistake waiting to happen. If you're drafting based on last year's results, you're not going to get results for this year. It's many times, often than not, that is actually the way to lose fantasy football, as opposed to actually winning it. So Deshaun Watson, probably not going to be a guy that I'm going to have on any of my rosters in the 2018 season. I'm a guy that likes to wait on quarterback. I think it's better to fill your positions at running back and wide receiver with a lot more depth than it is to go out there and get that quarterback early on by round 4, 5, or 6. You know, like we kind of tapped and we touched on it a little bit last week, me and Nick. Rounds 9, 10, 11, 12, those are the rounds where, especially a lot of the players that know what they're doing in fantasy football, those are the guys that are going to be drafting their quarterbacks around those rounds. It's a smarter play to go that direction. Like I said, it's going to help you out to fill your roster. You're going to have more of a complete team when you go that way. Deshaun Watson, got to watch for there. Going to go a lot higher. I'd not be shocked to see him go 3rd or 4th quarterback off the board. You'll have that guy that'll take Deshaun Watson ahead of Tom Brady. Be on the lookout for that. But the rest of the top 10 shakes out, I can kind of see it shaking out that way as we get closer to draft time. Andrew Luck, being in the 10th spot, I think that's about right for what we know right now. Like we keep seeing all the reports coming out, he's yet to throw a football. I think they're playing the cautious approach with him. They're taking it easy with their franchise quarterback. You know, if he gets back out there and he is actually throwing and looking like the old Andrew Luck, and you get him as the 10th quarterback off the board, you got yourself a steal, ladies and gentlemen. I think he will definitely outperform the 10th quarterback off the board. But, you know, as things go the way they normally go in fantasy football, there's always going to be a lot of deterioration. Once we get into training camp and everything like that, you're going to see some differences here and there. Now, when it comes to when it comes to the running back position, right off the bat, we have Le'Veon Bell, number one, Todd Gurley, number two, Ezekiel Elliott, number three, David Johnson, number four, Leonard Fournette, number five, Alvin Kamara coming in at running back number six after his tremendous 2017 campaign, Kareem Hunt coming in at seven, Melvin Gordon coming in at eight, Dalvin Cook off an injured year coming in at number nine, Devontae Freeman coming in at number 10. And also, if we kind of want to, like I said, with the quarterbacks, you want to go out to 11 and 12, you have LeSean McCoy at 11, Jordan Howard at 12. Kind of first indication that I'm looking here. Le'Veon Bell, of course, I would not say the consensus number one running back right now. You're going to see a lot of people that are going to be on Todd Gurley, just like they were in 2016, the way he finished his rookie season in 2015. I think you're going to see a lot of people on that Todd Gurley train again. And for me, I want the steady producer, Le'Veon Bell. I want the guy that's done it year in and year out. Todd Gurley is going to be a guy that he's, you know, yes, he flashed it last year. Yes, he was the number one running back last year, but can he do it again? Ezekiel Elliott, three, I think is the right play there. I think that's probably where his value lies. I think he's going to come back and provide another great fantasy season in 2018 behind that offensive line. I think that Dallas offense gets going again. They're going to get back to exactly how they need to do things. Hand the ball off, throw it to Ezekiel Elliott. He will be a steady, steady scorer for you in fantasy football formats, whether it's standard, whether it's PPR. He's going to give you those top five numbers each and every week. And by season's end, yes, he should be that top. He should be 2, 3, 4, right there in that range. So I think that's exactly where his value lies. David Johnson at four, though, like I said, I think we're looking at a David Johnson that could be in store for a down year. I know he's coming off the injury, but that offense as a whole is bad. That offensive line is bad. So David Johnson's going to have to do a lot of extra work to give you the numbers to warrant being the fourth running back off the board. I don't think he can do that. I think you're going to see him fall behind Leonard Fournette. Don't be shocked to see him even fall back around that seventh or eighth spot behind an Alvin Kamara, behind a Kareem Hunt. I'm all about drafting based on where the value is. And David Johnson, for me, I think is going to go a lot higher than what his value is actually going to play out to be. So David Johnson's going to be a guy that I think people are going to reach for, and I think that's going to come back and bite a lot of people this year. I mean, give me a guy that's on a more potent, high-scoring offense, and that's going to be the way I lean when it comes to filling my running back position in fantasy football. Yes, we always preach you want that bell cow back. Yes, we always preach you want that guy that's going to be out there and get those 20 to 25 touches a week. But what good is it if those 25 touches a week are only bringing you back about 80 combined yards and no touchdowns? That's going to sting. I mean, that's your running back one, and he's giving you, you know, low-tier running back two numbers in a given week. That's putting you behind the eight ball in your matchup against a certain individual every single week. So, moving on to the wide receivers now. We have right off the top of the board in core, you know, of course, Mr. Number One himself, Antonio Brown. DeAndre Hopkins at two. Odell Beckham at number three. Michael Thomas at four. Julio Jones at five. AJ Green at six. Mike Evans at seven. Keenan Allen at 8, Devontae Adams at 9, Brandon Cooks at 10, and then going out a little bit further for the 12-team leagues out there, you have Doug Baldwin at 11, T.Y. Hilton at 12. And, of course, the first thing right off the bat that I'm looking at, you know, you automatically bypass Antonio Brown. He's the number one wide receiver off the board, has been for the last three seasons. He should continue to be. I don't see any dip in production for him in this offense as long as Roethlisberger is the quarterback there. Antonio Brown, easily by far and away the number one quarterback here. DeAndre Hopkins had a great year 2017. Much of that was even with quarterback issues. The weeks when you had Deshaun Watson at quarterback, DeAndre Hopkins was started to finally find himself again. He started off very slow with Tom Savage at quarterback, but once Deshaun Watson came in, you saw a completely different DeAndre Hopkins, and then he even continued on that rampage as the year wore along. Even after Deshaun Watson went down, Tom Savage came back in, and we seemed to have that rapport finally. And DeAndre Hopkins was pushing Antonio Brown for much of the year for that wide receiver one honor. Odell Beckham's coming back after an injury in 2017. For me, if I'm making a selection right now, I'm putting Michael Thomas ahead of Odell Beckham. Michael Thomas has given you a baseline of 6 catches a week for like 70 to 80 yards, possible scores each and every single week. Where Odell Beckham in this offense has been a very, very boom or bust player. We all saw it in 2016. I mean, by season's end, his numbers looked okay, but in given weeks, he was giving you very, very little. I mean, he would come out and give you a big week 1 or 2 weeks in a row, but then he'd be quiet for 2 to 3 weeks. Biggest thing for Odell Beckham is going to be the head coaching change to Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur, we all saw what he did with the Minnesota offense last year with Thielen and Stephon Diggs. If you can get that type of production back into Odell Beckham, if they can open this offense up a lot more, they're going to need some help at the offensive line. They're going to need an actual running back in that backfield to help them out. But if they kind of get more of that balanced type offense again, Odell Beckham can get back up to the 3 spot. But for me, I would have Michael Thomas at 3 flopped with Odell Beckham at 4. Julio Jones being at number 5 is kind of that, you're giving him the name value being in that 5th spot. I don't think he's returning the value over the last couple of years to warrant being there still. But if you look behind him, I mean, who is behind him that's going to take his place? AJ Green, coming off a very, very bad year in 2017 in that horrible Bengals offense from last year. Can they rebound and turn it around this next year? Well, that remains to be seen. Can Andy Dalton get A.J. Green back to where he used to be? Can A.J. Green finally get a receiver on the other side of the field to take the pressure off? We don't know that yet. Mike Evans, a lot of hype surrounding Mike Evans last year. He was coming off the board as the wide receiver 2 last year in drafts. Did not live up to that hype. Can he rebound this year? I think he can. Mike Evans would be a guy that I would probably put just a smidge ahead of Julio Jones right now, but that's mostly because I like guys coming off of bad years. I like to go out there and get that value because a lot of the fantasy owners in some of these drafts that you'll see are not going to be high on a guy because of the year he just had this last year. They're going to let some of these people slip inside the cracks, between the cracks, so to speak. And I think Mike Evans is a guy that will be just that this next year. Keenan Allen, Nick Heffley will tell you, a longtime favorite of mine. He finally put together a healthy season last year, and we saw what you can actually get out of Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is another guy that I think you could make that argument and make the case to go ahead of Julio Jones. Just my thing with Julio Jones is he's too inconsistent. Last year he finally was up there in terms of red zone looks. Matt Ryan was finally giving him shots into the end zone, but he was not converting on them. And that's the issue with Julio Jones, is that he does not convert the touchdowns that you expect to see out of a player the caliber of Julio Jones. I want touchdown potential out of my receivers. I want catches. I want touchdowns. Julio Jones can sometimes give you the catches and sometimes give you the touchdowns, but he's not giving them to you in a consistent enough base to be a wide receiver 5 off the board. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. Now, Devontae Adams, rounding out, he's the ninth receiver. He's given a little bit of respect based on being the number one receiver now in Green Bay, being a guy that's consistently been a double-digit touchdown scorer. He's really, really inconsistent when it comes to the PPR formats, though. So Devontae Adams will be a guy that you can target more in a standard league than you would in a PPR league. Brandon Cooks, finally started to put it together towards the end of the year in 2017 with Tom Brady and the Patriots. Can he carry over that momentum into this next year? We'll have to wait and see on that as well. So that, just to kind of put a bow on this, that is, I just want to kind of get a little bit of content out there, talk a little bit about this free agency that took place. Really kind of wanted to get our toes wet in the water with fantasy football rankings and implications that we're seeing out there. Of course, this is going to be something we're going to talk about on a weekly basis. We're starting to get towards the NFL draft, and most of my episodes that we're going to be putting out over the course of the next few weeks, probably going to try to get some other guests on here. Want to really try to hone in and talk about some NFL draft stuff over the course of the next few weeks. I might try to do a division each week as we lead into the NFL draft. Kind of talk about what we think a team might do in the draft and how it might help them with their fantasy football output for the 2018 season. So be on the lookout for that. Definitely going to be doing that going down the road. It's never stops with the NFL, as we know. Free agency is now underway. It came in a flurry for the first week, but now the moves are starting to kind of come here and there. Not as busy, but I mean, it's always something that there's always going to be signings. There's always going to be something to talk about. But the biggest thing going forward now, NFL draft. That's what we need to look at, and that is what we'll be doing going from here on into April. So here I am doing this podcast all by myself. I'm gonna cue this up right here. Got a little bit of flying solo for the week. Probably not the greatest podcast this week with me doing it by myself, but like I said, wanted to kind of get this content out there, get a little bit of stuff out there for some of the people's ears, because we can always talk about fantasy football, and that is my forte. That is what I like to talk about, and I think that's something that most of the listeners are keen on. I mean, you can never do too much preparations for fantasy football. So, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I am the Roto Superstar. That's where you can find me on Twitter, at Roto Superstar. It's Brandon Murkison flying the solo ship here on Woo Fantasy this week. And until next time, this is Brandon Murkison signing off. Everyone, have a great week.